So Howard's going to read it for us, then we'll pray, and then we'll look at a couple more examples, and then we'll go through Psalms. What does it teach us about prayer? So Howard, if you could read Psalm 51 for us. Yeah, it's only 17 verses. You can handle it, brother.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and clean me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou hast speak, and be clear when thou hast judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wouldst not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall thy offer bullocks.
Thank you, brother. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom and your presence as we go to thy word. I pray we would learn. And Lord, the things that we would learn, we would apply to our own personal prayer life. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified by our response to your word this morning. We trust in its power and the Holy Spirit to apply it to us. And may you be glorified. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of you understand the difference between first person and third person, right? I'm not trying to get complicated. Tanya, what's the difference? Tanya is an English teacher.
First person is feeling like you personally, third person you're talking about somebody else.
Exactly. And if you notice, when we go through the New Testament, most of it's written in the third person. In other words, it's teaching us something. This would be first person. How often do we see the word I or me? So this is David personally praying to God himself. David is not here writing to us. He's writing or praying to God, but God allowed it to be captured in his word. So this is an actual prayer of David unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, some of your Bibles might have this introductory bit, which is actually in the manuscripts, the Hebrew manuscripts. It's not considered part of Scripture, but mine says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So we even know for a fact where it came from. It came from Nathan calling out David for his sin. But I just wanted you to see that many of the psalms, not all of them, some of them are poems, some of them are praise. But many of the psalms are actual prayers unto God in the first person. And Psalm 51, which we're going to look at again in the future when we go through the penitential, one of the most beautiful psalms. Of course, most people know Psalm 23, right? Probably the most common psalm. So let's look at two more just as examples. So 61, Brother Brent, this one is written again as a prayer, but it's from someone who has a troubled heart, feels overwhelmed, feels maybe not close to God. We've all been there. Psalm 61, Brent's going to read it for us.
Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Listen to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.
Amen. And again, the introduction to the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. But notice, hear my cry. So this is, again, is a personal prayer of David unto God. And he feels, verse 2, one of our scripture songs that we sing, overwhelmed. So what should we do when my hood is overwhelmed? Go to the rock. Amen. And we'll read one more, Psalm 143, Roy, if you'd read that for us. This one is a psalm asking for direction. And we all need direction. We all need God's leading and guiding in our walk. It's only 12. Can you handle 12, Roy? Okay, thanks.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been dead. Therefore, my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty man. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I plead unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, out of my enemies, and destroy all them.
Oh, if we could only pray like David. Amen. The man was a man after God's own heart. We can see why when we see how he prayed. But notice he asked God, verse 8, cause me to know the way. Show me where to go. Verse 10, teach me to do thy will. Verse 11, quicken me. In other words, give me that life again. So these are just three examples of David actually praying to God in repentance, when he's overwhelmed, asking for direction. These are just three examples of maybe 40 that are actual prayers. And I just wanted to show you that before we dive into what it actually teaches us about prayer. Because Psalms has a lot to teach us about prayer. So to start with, we will look at just some general teachings about prayer and then some specific teachings about prayer. So we'll start in Psalm 17:6. Mr. Zeus, if you'd read that for us. Anytime you've got a question, just shoot your hand up or whatever. Psalm 17, verse 6. And just some general teaching on prayer to start with.
I have called upon thee, but thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech.
So in verse 6 of 17, we find out that God hears our prayers. Amen? Thou wilt hear me. Praise God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Nathan, if you could read those for us. So just some general teaching about prayer.
As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
So what we find here is a believer who's thirsting after God. This is what God wants from us, isn't it? He wants us to thirst after him, to desire to be with him. All right, Psalm 65, 2. Brad, if you could read that for us.
O thou that hearest prayer, changed, all the flesh come.
Again, a reminder, God hears prayer. Praise God. He is a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. Howard, if you'd read those for us.
I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live.
Amen. He hath heard my voice. Isn't that good? And in Psalm 121, let's turn over there. Verses 1 and 2, great memory verses, by the way, if you want to add them to your list. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Our help comes from God. So these are some general teachings about prayer, but let's get into some specifics now. Some of the things that God tells us or teaches us to pray for in the Psalms. We'll start in 34:17, Brent. And these are just the what. So we're going to look at the what, we're going to look at the when, and we're going to look at the how when it comes to prayer. These are the what verses.
The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
So one of the things God wants us to pray about is our troubles. Amen? He allows troubles, we know this, because he tells us so. But he wants us to bring them to him. All right, Psalm 55:22. Roy, if you'd read that for us. God wants us to pray about our burdens. Now, he allows the burdens, but he wants them to drive us to pray, to spend more time with him. And what are we supposed to do with those burdens? Cast them upon the Lord. How do we do that? In prayer. Amen? We cast our burdens on the Lord in prayer. Psalm 81:10. Mr. Zeus, one of my favorites.
You mean the verse that you're
It can go both ways.
I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Upon my mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Mark Zeus is one of my favorites, by the way. He and I are born the same year. I get to pick on him because he's a few months older than me. Anyway, open thy mouth wide. Amen. What do you think God's telling us there? To pray big. Don't be afraid to pray big because our God is big. Amen? Never does God say to pray small, does he? You know, most Christians, they pray like this. We're not supposed to pray like that, are we? We're supposed to pray with our mouth wide open. Pray big. Don't be afraid. Because God answers prayer. And he wants us to believe that he answers prayer and that he answers big prayers. So open thy mouth wide. Let's look at one more, Psalm 143:10. Nathan, we looked at 143, but this specifically is one of the things we should be praying for.
Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness.
So we're definitely to be praying for direction. Amen? Lord, show me where to go. Show me what to do. Help me with these decisions. I don't know. The more we ask God for direction, the more we know we're going in God's direction. So God doesn't ever tell us, you just do whatever you want to do and then you pray for me to fix it afterward. It's not the way it works in the scriptures, is it? We're to be praying for direction. Teach me to do thy will. So that's the what. Let's look at the when. Psalm 5:3, Brad. Are we to pray in the morning? That's what it says. Amen. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Now we're to pray all the time. But I think here God is specifically saying before we head out into the day, we need to get on our knees. Amen. And spend time with God so that the day is committed to him. We start off the day with him. In the morning will I direct my prayer. And then another one, Psalm 55:17, great memory verse. Howard, if you'd read that for us. Psalm 55:17.
Evening and morning
pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice.
Yes, Christians are told to pray without ceasing. Amen. But specifically, evening and morning and at noon. In other words, we need to have prayer time all the time. But we need to specifically have times where we set aside and we get with God alone and pray. So that's the when. There's two verses on the when, but let's now spend some time on the how. So we've looked at the what, some of the things we were told to pray for in Psalms. We've looked at the when, but now let's look at how we are to pray. And the Bible in Psalms has some teachings on this. So Psalm 17:1 is where we'll begin. Mr. Cairns, if you'd read that for us, please.
Hear the voice, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer, goeth not out of pain lips.
We're going to do these in scripture order rather than topically. So Psalm 17 is our first one. What is he teaching us about prayer here? We're talking about the how. That last phrase, what is it teaching us? Roy? Exactly. When we pray with honesty. Amen? How silly is it to come to Almighty God who knows our hearts and knows everything about us, but try to hide something from God? When we come to God not out of feigned lips. We come to God with complete openness and honesty about who we are, about our weaknesses, about our sins. We never fake our prayers to God. That's just ridiculous. So God is not interested in flowery prayers, is he? He's interested in honest prayers. So that's a very important truth there. Psalm 26:2 then, Roy, if you'd read that for us. Again, we'll do these in scripture order to make it easier. So again, we're doing the how. What is he teaching us here about prayer? Anybody? Examine me. What is that teaching us? Is it teaching us anything about prayer? Somebody?
To be open.
Exactly. But also to be willing to let God show us areas in our lives that need work. Amen? Examine me. You know, we're told in James 1, right? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So when we look into the mirror of God's word, the Holy Spirit reflects back to us sin in our lives. We should be praying regularly, examine me. Show me, Lord. Show me the areas that I need to work on. All right, Psalm 37:4. Most Christians know this one. If you don't, you should probably learn it. Mr. Zeus, sorry I didn't say your name. My favorite.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
What does God mean when he says, delight thyself also in the Lord? I actually preached on this in Potatadu a couple weeks ago. So what is he teaching us? Delight thyself. What does that mean, to delight yourself in the Lord? Well, if you read the whole psalm, it's teaching us that our desires, our will needs to be aligned with God's will. Then we know he will give us the desires of our heart. You know, if you want, you can start your own cult and just grab the second half of the verse and say, "Not whatever I want, God's going to give me." But God never teaches that in his word, does he? This is the confidence, right? 1 John 5:14, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So how do we pray according to his will? By delighting ourselves in the Lord and his will for our lives. Aligning our will with his will, then we know he'll actually align our desires with his desires. Amen? And that's very important. All right, Psalm 46:10, Nathan. This is the how. We've looked at the what and the when, now the how. What is God telling us when he says, be still? Okay, to be quiet. And that's actually taught in the New Testament, isn't it? Talks about quietness, 2 Thessalonians. Well, sometimes in prayer, maybe we talk too much. Amen. We need to let God do some talking. And how does he talk to us? Through this. Amen. So sometimes we need to just be still. Get into the Word, let God speak to us. Prayer isn't just about reading off a list of requests to God, is it? It's about a relationship. It's about fellowship with our Creator who's given us eternal life. So be still. All right, Psalm 51, 6 and 17, Brad. Psalm 51, again, we'll be going back through it, but there's so much in this psalm.
Six
and 17.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden path thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
So in verse 6, thou desirest truth. Where? In the inward parts. Again, praying honestly. Verse 17, a broken spirit. What is that teaching us? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. What is that teaching us about prayer? That when we come to prayer, what? Not only do we come in honesty, but we come in brokenness. Amen? Over our wickedness. All right. 66:18, probably one of the most important verses in Psalms about prayer. Howard, if you'd read that for us.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
So what is God teaching us about prayer in this amazing verse? Not only to be honest, but what? We cannot come to God in prayer if we haven't dealt with sin that we know about. Amen? Now, we as Christians have 1 John 1:9, that beautiful truth. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I haven't dealt with it, if I haven't confessed it to the Lord, what does it do to our prayer? The Lord will not hear me. So we cannot come to God with sin that we have not dealt with, or it will hinder our prayers. Sin is a hindrance to prayer. All right, 691:1, Brent.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Where's the secret place? That's your prayer closet, amen? Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, amen? And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. God wants us to have time alone. Yes, we should be praying all the time when we're driving, when we're at work, but we also need to have a time in the secret place where it's just you and God. Amen? All right, 119 verse 2. Is it Roy's turn? The whole heart. So is it possible to come to God with part of our heart? We can try to set some things of our life off in a little box on the side and say, well, Lord, I'm going to come to you, but I don't want to talk about that. Right? And of course, what happens? The Holy Spirit says, that's the only thing I want to talk about. Right? We're going to deal with that. And if we say no, it's going to hinder our prayers. We have to come with the whole heart. And then Psalm 119, 170, Mr. Zeus. Yes, please.
Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word.
So should the Word of God be involved in our prayer lives? Of course. That is how God communicates with us, according to thy word. Amen? And he's talking here about supplication. All right, 139, 23, and 24. This is our hymn that we sing all the time, hymn number 471. Nathan, if you'd read those two verses for us.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me.
We need to have the courage to pray this as God's children. Amen. Search me and try me. Search me. Do you think God will answer that prayer if we pray it? Search me and know my heart? He absolutely will. But a lot of Christians are afraid to pray that because they're afraid of what the answer might be. Lord, search my heart. Well, I don't want you to search my heart because of the things you're going to find. But this is what God wants. Openness, honesty, search me. Lord, search my heart and know my heart. Try me and know even my thoughts. So when we come to prayer, we need to come asking God to examine us. Amen. And then lastly, 145:18, Brad. In truth. So there it is again. Openness and honesty about who we are, about where we are, about sin in our life. So Psalms, even though it's mostly about praise, it teaches us so much about prayer. Amen? Some beautiful truths there. So thoughts or questions about Psalms teaching on prayer? Now we're going to go back through them again and look at the penitential Psalms. We're going to look at the Word of God. The Psalms teach us anything about the Word of God? Longest chapter in the Bible, amen? That's going to take a little while. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. Any thoughts or questions about Psalms teaching on prayer?